Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I'm joined in studio by Abe Hamilton, public policy analyst, Walker Wildman, who's assistant to the president, and Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Ed.
We have you on just about every day, I think, here at this hour.
My privilege.
Before we turn to Steve to get his take on some of the important news today, the audio we played of the video, the pro-life video we played just before the break, that is available at our Facebook page, right?
Yeah, if you're a Facebook user, you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page and watch that video. I have it posted there. But also, if you're a pastor, or maybe you're just a church member, and you would like your pastor or your Sunday school teacher to show this video on Sunday morning, then you can just go to afa.net. That's afa.net, our main website. And right there on the front page, you'll see the video and the links to it and all the information you'll need to have your pastor play that video.
All right, because it's a powerful video, folks. And as we mentioned, this month is Sanctity of Life Month, January, and Sunday is Sanctity of Life Sunday because it is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision that began the holocaust of abortion in this country. And we continue to pray that God will bring that to an end in our nation. All right, Steve.
Good morning.
What do we got? What's cooking?
Well, top of the page at onenewsnow.com. You can go there right now and read an interesting article from Michael Haverlock there. He found some ads offering $2,500 per month for people to cause havoc at the Trump inauguration and maybe onward from this group called the Man Protest. And I don't know where that money's coming from, but I have a sense it might have something to do with, well, I won't name the guy, but it rhymes with Porge Joros. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And that could be anybody.
That could be anybody.
That could be anybody.
Porge Joros.
So anyway, that's at the top of the page, onenewsnow.com. But I brought you a couple clips today that I thought.
I just want to come back to that. I know, just for a minute. Now,
okay.
So $2,500 to do what?
To cause havoc. To protest.
And that ad doesn't specify what they mean by havoc, or does it?
Well, no, it's directed at the Trump administration.
Right. Okay. So
and the
that could be a call. That could be a call for anything. From yelling loud when you're not supposed to firebombs or what?
I mean, well, this group, Demand Protest, is a coalition of a whole lot of very, very left leaning fallen over left.
Yes.
left lane.
You are on fire, my friend. You're on fire.
So anyway, it could be any number of things, but there's money involved. In case anybody wondered if they were legitimate, disgruntled people, I'm sure that they believe what they're doing, but they're also getting paid.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
That's an incentive.
Yeah. Let's move on. I know you got something
else. Yeah, I brought
a
couple clips. This is from the Tom Price hearing. He is the gentleman that Trump has chosen to lead the Department of Health and Human Services.
From Georgia.
From Georgia. Congressman from Georgia. Or senator. Congressman.
Congressman.
And along with everything else he has on his plate, of course, is health care. And I brought two clips. And this will, I believe, show the difference between what Republicans or conservatives believe as opposed to what Democrats or liberals believe. It's right here, front and center in these two clips. So what you're going to hear first is Tom Price and then shortly interrupted by Bernie Sanders, socialist from Vermont.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Vermont?
So, this is Tom Price and Bernie Sanders.
Yes, we're a compassionate society.
No, we're not a compassionate society. In terms of our relationship to poor and working people, our record is worse than virtually any other country on earth. We have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any other major country on earth. And half of our senior older workers have nothing set aside for retirement. So I don't think compared to other countries, we are particularly compassionate. But my question is, in Canada, in other countries, all people have the right to get health care. Do you believe we should move in that direction?
if you want to talk about other countries' health care systems, there are consequences to the decisions that they've made, just as there are consequences to the decision that we've made. I believe and I look forward to working with you to make certain that every single American has access to the highest quality care and coverage that is possible.
Yeah, I think Price's eyes got as wide as Walker's over there when he heard that comment.
Yeah, virtually worse than any other country in America.
Right.
And so I don't know about that. North Korea is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well,
virtually. Virtually.
Yeah, virtually. So that was a very careful answer from Price, where he said the best care and coverage possible. Because that is the balance that every society has to come to. You have to balance, you know, in a perfect world, everybody have all the food they want and a BMW in the garage and you know, of their home, their two-story home, and everything would be free.
Right.
But there's no such
thing. Nothing is free.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, in a perfect world, if you can dream it, it can happen. Yes. Okay. Then everybody has all the health care they want, and there's no problems to life. But you know, the balance that every society has to strike is what can we do, and what is possible.
And I have to jump in here because verbiage is critically important. If you notice. Excuse me. Senator Sanders talked about in Canada and wherever else he named, every person has the right to health care.
Yeah.
In America, every person has the right to health care. The issue is health insurance. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. Nobody is saying that they're not every person in America doesn't have equal rights to access health care. Well, we're getting down to brass tacks is who should pay for it, Bernie.
Right.
But they use this type of terminology to load the argument to put you in a defensive posture when saying what, because who's going to say out of their mouths verbally, well, no, they don't. Everybody didn't have the right to health care. That's not the discussion.
Right.
The discussion is who should pay for people's health insurance. That's the discussion.
Well,
and I think it's important to make that distinction when we're discussing these type of topics.
And I agree with you completely. Verbiage is key to these things. But as you know how these Senate hearings go, the senators have a chance one-on-one with the candidate, in this case, Tom Price. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. Sanders had his time, and then down the road a little bit, it came Rand Paul's time to talk. And Rand Paul had a little bit of an issue. Dr. Rand Paul, had a little bit of an issue with saying that we're not compassionate.
One of the things that's extraordinary about our country is that just 2 years ago, in 2014, we gave away $400 billion privately, not the government, individually to your churches and to charities. We're an incredibly compassionate society. And I think not only do we help each other with on our country, I'll bet you half the physicians in my community in Bowling Green have gone on international trips and done international charity work. And all that is lost in saying that we're this heartless, terrible country. And I would just argue the opposite. I think the greatness of our country and the greatness of the compassion of our country, we give away more than the gross domestic product of most of these socialized countries around the world.
The difference? We're giving it away as people,
Bingo.
Not the government.
Not the government.
That's not forced.
That, to me, brings up really the difference between the approach of the Democrats and the Republicans, conservatives, and liberals on this issue.
And this la-la land that we can all be covered by the government and everyone will be able to go to the hospital and not have to pay anything, it's all a fantasy. Reality is, if we do that like Canada and these other countries, our health care will be horrible. It will be horrible. We'll go and wait for hours in the emergency room, which some people even do now in America. And you won't see a doctor. And when you do see a doctor, it'll be poor because he's seen 50 people that day because everybody comes in for free. And so it's a disaster, the idea that Bernie Sanders would like to implement. And you can see the part of the disaster with Obamacare.
I was just going to say that distinction in the minds between conservatives and progressives is, in Bernie Sanders' mind, the reason why it's not compassionate is because it's not coming from the government. But let's go deeper into how the government gets resources. The government produces nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The government makes nothing. So how can you truly call it compassion when you are acquiring your resources through extortion and confiscation and redistributing it? That is not the definition of compassion.
Right.
That is the definition of totalitarianism.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have another story you want to hit us with before we head out?
I thought that was going to last 15 minutes.
Well, I have one more comment.
Go ahead.
To Abe's point, if the government and Senator Sanders and others are so serious about making sure everyone has health care, et cetera, or has health insurance, then they need to start working on tax incentives to these private hospitals and these private insurance companies to free up the companies to where they can actually do more charity work with their money instead of having it taken up by the government.
Well, and I will say this other thing too, and that is Obamacare was apparently the best that the left could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was all Democrats. Not a single Republican voted for it in the House or the Senate. So the Democrats designed it. The Democrats didn't read it.
No.
And then the Democrats passed it.
And then they found out what was in it.
And then they found out what was in it. And what we have seen here in the last couple of years is people's premiums going through the roof. We saw states abandoning Obamacare because it just wasn't workable. Mm-hmm. We saw all the stuff floating to the surface that had been hidden down deep. Mm-hmm. And that's the best that the Democrats could come up with. It doesn't seem to me, Abe, that is a program that's compassionate if it's not going to last.
No. And here's one of the big things. You know, the architect for Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber, was talking about why it's not working. And he basically, because it's been long my opinion that Obamacare was a stopgap measure between single payer.
I agree.
Well, explain what single payer means.
Yes, single payer means a universal health care system to where you have one provider of health insurance in the country, which is the federal government, and they determine who and when and what type of treatment every citizen gets.
Socialized medicine.
It is literally socialized medicine. It is the system they have in England. It's the system that they have in Canada. And the part of the way that you know that is the case, when Jonathan Gruber was confronted about the terminal flaws in Obamacare, you say, well, the main reason is we don't have enough people paying into the system.
Yeah,
right.
We have young people who think they're invincible and they don't need to get insurance, so they're much rather pay the tax penalty than to get the insurance. He said, Jonathan Gruber said, if we really want to make it work, we should increase the tax penalty immediately. Mm. To force people, this is his words, to force people to buy into Obamacare.
Right.
I think I said this yesterday, but if you want to know how good the government would be at running health care, just look at how they're doing with the VA. They're running health care, and it's
horrific.
It's a mess.
People dying.
Exactly.
Although, I do want to make mention, as we mentioned yesterday on the show, there are a lot of fine people working in the VA, doctors and health care providers, trying to do the best they can. Despite the red tape and the bureaucracy that is overseeing it. So I do want to make that distinction. All right. Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks,
and
Ed.
I'll tell you what,
Abe.
Some great comedy work here today, too. You keep that work
thank
up.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
We may give you more than 10 minutes, my friend.
That's
all right. Thank
for.
You, Steve. Yes. That's going to go down in, I would say, in infamy, but it'll go down somehow on today's issue. Issues lore. All right, we want to welcome to our program again another person who is no stranger to our today's issues listeners here on American Family Radio. That is Alex McFarland, who's an author and apologetics expert, and he is an expert and co-host of Exploring the Word with Bert Harper, heard weekdays on AFR at 3 p.m. Central Time. Alex, welcome to today's issues.
God bless America. Hi, Ed. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
And also we have, Alex, we have Abe Hamilton is on, Walker Wildman on as well. Well, Alex, this is it. Now, I'm going to tell people something that they may or may not know, and that is that Alex was one of the first people that I knew personally who, during the primary season, picked Donald Trump to win and said that he can win. I didn't believe you, Alex, but a lot of people didn't believe you. But we are just hours, literally hours away from the inauguration of Donald Trump. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, it's the Lord. Robert Jeffers, Jerry Falwell Jr. and I have a unique club, I guess, because, you know, we were really the first three. Honestly, we were. And I'll tell you, I took a lot of heat for it. And, you know, my guy was Mike Huckabee. I know Governor Huckabee. But, you know, I think clearly God has had his hand in this election. And, you know, not that all of our hope is in Donald Trump. Our hope, obviously, is in Christ. And, but, yeah, it was, it's been a wild year, hasn't it? But I wrote an op-ed that's going to come out. I'm not supposed to say because they've got exclusivity, but there's a major, major news outlet that picked up an op-ed that I wrote this morning. And one of the things that I think is an interesting dynamic of the election in 2016 was that all the star power in the world could not get Hillary Clinton elected.
Mm.
And, you know, the vitriol... Oh, my goodness, the vitriol that's come out of the entertainment industry has been amazing. I know you may have addressed Meryl Streep's speech at the Golden Globes, and, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Meryl Streep, Whoopi Goldberg, Amy Schumer, Johnny Depp.
The list goes on.
Oh, yeah. But
who are all those people?
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. Hollywood is facing its own irrelevancy, and for them, that's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Alex, you have, if I understand correctly, you have a new book coming out in the spring here.
I do. I do. I have a book coming out March the 1st called Abandoned Faith, and the subtitle says it all, Winning Your Adult Child Back to Christ.
Hmm. Okay. And it's... Is the subject matter, is that self-explanatory?
Well, you know, one of the things that has been a real concern for a lot of people, myself included, over the last, you know, decade has been that there are a lot of young people raised in church, and they, you know, they go to Christian school, they go to youth group, but, you know, they graduate from high school, and it's like they've graduated from God, and they walk away. Now, many of them in their 30s, you know, they're married, they're trying to raise a family, they come back to church. I say they might limp back to church because they often come back as an adult with some spiritual and life baggage. But there are a lot of kids that were raised in good Christian homes. Maybe they even made a profession of faith in their teens, and they become an agnostic, or they become, you know, they fall away from God. What this book is about is winning back the individuals and, frankly, a generation that once walked with Christ and then walked away.
Hmm. Well, I think that there's a lot of people in this country who have drifted away from God, some explicitly, some implicitly. You know, some have done it in a way that's plain to everybody. Others have drifted away from, you know, living their lives according to God's word. They do what is right in their own eyes, and they, you know, may go to church on Sunday, but their lives do not seem to reflect any kind of righteousness, any kind of heartfelt seeking of God. And so the country is clearly sick spiritually. The church is struggling with worldliness. And I mean, we could, you know, probably all of us talk, you know, for hours about this, but nothing hurts the heart of a parent more than having a child away from God, and especially one who is grown, able to make up their own minds, and they appear to be making up their minds by walking away. And so this sounds, Alex, like a book that is going to really not only comfort parents, but also give them some biblical insight into what God calls them to do while God works in the heart of their prodigal.
Well, and let me say a couple of things. If you're the parent of a prodigal, if you're the parent of a young person who's wandered away, have hope. There is hope. And I'll tell you, I got the idea to write this book probably 18 months ago when Jeff Shambly and I were filming the 21 Questions teaching series that exclusively was produced by American Family Association. and it's still available at afastore.net. 21 Toughest Questions Your Children Will Ask About God, and there's a workbook. But I got the idea, you know, it's important to preemptively equip young people so that we don't, you know, retroactively have to fix broken adults. But if you're the parent of a prodigal, be hopeful and be prayerful, because we interviewed a lot of people, and there are stories and stories we could tell about young people that they do come back. They don't always, but they can come back. And I firmly believe, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, see, from the training up of a child to the when they're old and they come back, there might be a long spiritual dry spell, but don't despair. Pray. I did uncover, I interviewed a lot of people, Ed Stetzer of Lifeway and Josh McDowell and many people. James Dobson, spent a fair amount of time talking with Dr. Dobson. There are some things we can do to help, I think, do our best with God's help to prevent the falling away that we're witnessing.
I have a quick question, Alex. This is Abe here. I know we're coming close to the end. Without obviously giving away everything from your book, because I think this is a timely book, especially where we are in our country right now.
Right.
What is, in addition to being hopeful, what is just one of the top things parents of prodigals, what can they do in an effort to win back their children who've walked away?
Well, it's all about worldview. I mean, it really is, because behaviors are informed by beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason that we've got so many kids that embrace agnosticism or really hedonism is because they might have had a little exposure to the gospel, but they really didn't get a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. And so it's never too late. It is maybe you're an empty nester, but you can still begin to live out the content and authority of Scripture, and it will impact those that are around you, even your adult kids.
Alex, thank you so much. Are you going to be in Washington this week for the inauguration?
Well, that would be nice. I was invited, yes, I was invited, but I'm going to be in the Houston area at the Texas Baptist Evangelism Conference. So, my schedule is on my website, alexmcfarland.com, and I'll be in Texas.
Well, teaching, preaching God's Word, that is a great way to spend the end of this week. Alex, thank you so much for being on with us today, and we look forward to that book coming out, and when it does, make sure you let us know, give us a heads up, and we will have you on to talk about it.
Hey, we love you guys. God bless you all.
All right. Thank you, Alex. We are just about out of time, folks. Ed Vitagliano has been sitting in for Tim Wildman, Abe Hamilton, our public policy analyst, Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. Folks, I want to close with the Word of God. Was thinking about what Alex said, and the Bible says, "For thus the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread." We can't predict what's going to happen in this country or around the world, but we should not be shaken by what people say is going to happen, what people say people are conspiring to do. We should fear the Lord and stay holy according to the power of his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for tuning in to today's issues. Keep listening to more great programming straight ahead.